Well, guys, can we talk? We do these talk titles weeks in advance. And I just want, it's so great because the music is so perfect for what we're doing today. But I was thinking originally going off in a particular direction with this. And as I started pulling it together, I had a particular outcome and outline in my head. And then I got sidetracked because I was listening to NPR, one of my favorite stations, and they had a TED Talk on. And they were doing this interview with Dr. Eric Hazeltine. He's an author. He's a neuroscientist, which is the hot profession these days. And he's also a futurist. And he was talking about those times in our history where we take leaps. We get new ideas, we find new insights we've never had before, we have new discoveries, new solutions, and fantastic breakthroughs. And he was giving ideas from diverse areas in science and economics and astronomy. And he had originally asked, he said, how many people in this huge audience, if you've seen these audiences for TED Talks, there's probably 10,000 people. He said, who right now is working on some creative project, hoping to discover some new piece of information, some dynamic new breakthrough? And of course, almost everybody in the audience puts their hand up. And he said, how many of you that are working on these projects, realistically, think they'll win a Nobel Prize for their work? Not one hand went up. He said, that's not surprising because so much of what we do is just modifications of stuff we already knew or little tweaks to stuff we already knew. He said, I'm going to tell you the secret on how to go from here to now Nobel Prize. Easier said than done, but it was really an intriguing intro. He said, over the years, because of all the different areas that he worked in, he was examining these really radical leaps, not these just little modifications or these little tweaks. And he was looking at the people behind those leaps and their approach and their reasoning. And he discovered something really fascinating. He discovered a commonality in all of these different areas of endeavor. And he said, this particular idea, this particular approach precipitated all these breakthroughs and all of these brand new discoveries. And so he said, it isn't the questions they asked. Now you would think that's the way you start a project. That's the way you start some research. And possibly, but he said, the wonderful breakthroughs didn't depend on those questions that they asked. He said the problem with having a situation or a problem and asking questions of things like why and how and what if, he said those limit the answers. Those kinds of questions take our present knowledge to try and find new solutions, new discoveries, new knowledge, new breakthroughs. But actually, we're confined by the questions we ask because the questions we ask are based on our old knowledge. The questions that we ask are based on our present information. And what Hazeltine found was that the most amazing discoveries and the biggest breakthroughs and the biggest leaps come when observers look at these unexpected results or these odd phenomena as they're doing research. And instead of trying to make the results and the phenomena fit the old information or the old paradigms or the old knowledge, if the observer doing this research, instead of trying to make the phenomena fit what we think we know up to that point, if we look and observe and say, isn't that interesting? No judgment, no trying to fit old paradigms or old knowledge or old things we know. Just, isn't that interesting? And now with that, isn't that interesting, with these new facts, pursue that puzzle. And out of pursuing that puzzle of the, isn't that interesting, isn't that odd, isn't that unusual, a whole new area of discovery and science comes about. And I thought, what an intriguing idea, and I couldn't let that go, that, isn't that interesting? And one of the examples he gave is that we found out that light, beams of light, both acted as a particle and a wave. If it acts as one, it's only supposed to have these characteristics. If it acts as the other, it's only supposed to have these characteristics. And in fact, it had both characteristics. Isn't that interesting? Led to a whole new direction and a whole new science. And so Hastein in this interview was giving examples from everything from astronomy to aviation to science. Isn't that interesting with this new result and taking it off in a new direction? I know when I was running lab experiments, you start with a premise that you want to prove. Generally, that's how all research starts. And then when you get results that you don't expect, the tendency is to dismiss it. There's something wrong with the instrumentation, or maybe I was too tired, or maybe my eyes were crossing, or you try and make that oddball stuff, those oddball results, fit what you're trying to prove in your research. That's why they do double-blind studies. And so what you're really trying to do is, instead of discovering something new, going for that Nobel Prize, as he talks about it, you're trying to make this new data, this new phenomenon, fit old information, information you already have, and those old paradigms. And I thought, isn't that interesting? If we take that concept, isn't that interesting? Let's hear you say that. Isn't that interesting? Okay, keep that in mind. This approach can work in a lot of different areas, especially when it comes to human behavior. For example, pay attention to how you react when something doesn't go your way, or doesn't act, or someone doesn't act like you think they should or they ought to. What do you do? Well, depending on the person and the situation and your relationship, there's lots of reactions you can have. You can get angry. You can get frustrated or impatient. You can get exasperated. You might dismiss the person entirely. They just don't know what they're doing, or those people, you know, how we do that. Or we judge, how often we like to judge and just kind of put them in a category. Or we lash out. We might withdraw, kind of, oh, they hurt our feelings, you know. Or, this is my favorite, we tell our friends and coworkers and relatives all the nitty-gritty details. Do you have anybody you know like that? They have to tell you every teensy, teensy little detail of what happened. You know, the high-drama people. Or a reaction of, this stuff always happens to me. Why does all this stuff always happen to me? That kind of victim mentality. So there's lots of ways that we can react, and they're instantaneous reactions. This happens, we react. All of that stuff leads to high blood pressure, you know, upset stomachs, headaches, medical problems. We know, you know, our bodies are putting all these chemicals into themselves. none of that reaction is good for our bodies. Yeah. And if we look at our reactions in light of Hazeltine's concepts, what are we really doing when we get angry or frustrated or judge the behavior of others or feel stuff like this always happens to me? Actually, what we're doing is we're trying to fit present circumstances, present actions, present data into our present belief system. Our present expectations based on that belief system. We're trying to put what's going on here and now into our present and past experiences. Well, of course they would do that. What we're doing is we're putting what's happening here and making it our present reality and reinforcing our present reality. However we're reacting, it's keeping us stuck, isn't it? It's hard to get out of those immediate reactions because it's based on old beliefs and old expectations and old programming and old education and old realities. If that's as far as we go, that immediate response to whatever's happening here, we're stuck. There's never going to be a breakthrough. Nothing ever different is going to happen to us. That old concept of doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome, you know, the definition of insanity. And what do? When stuff happens, we do the same thing and then we do it harder. You know, or we do it longer, or we try and put more energy behind it. But it's the same reaction to the same stimulus. It's not going to lead to a breakthrough. It's just going to lead to a lot of frustration. What if we did a little modification of Eric Hazeltine's idea of, isn't that interesting? In order to make breakthroughs in our own lives, you know, in order for us to make that evolutionary leap or that spiritual leap and discover something new about us and that and them and the relationship. What if we look at what's bugging us and say, isn't that interesting? Now, granted, it sounds a lot simpler than it is. And if you're driving and somebody cuts you off or causes an accident, I'm sure the first thought that pops into your mind isn't, isn't that interesting? It probably is a thought that has lots of asterisks and exclamation points and dot, dot, dot. It'll probably be a lot more pithy than, isn't that interesting? But in our day-to-day reactions, in our interactions with other people that we love, you know, and also with those people who irritate the heck out of us, you probably don't have any of those in your life. And of course, as a minister, I have none of those people in my life. If our first reaction is, isn't that interesting? It'll slow us down a little bit. We don't immediately jump to that old programming, those old beliefs, those old reactions, those old expectations, that old, why is everything happening to me? It'll help us stop to think, maybe, and consider. If nothing else, it'll sure as heck lower our blood pressure, if we can remember to do that. This isn't really new information, you know. If we read scripture, and we do here, our spiritual roadmap, we know those stories are for us, both on a surface level, because they're wonderful, interesting, loving stories, but also on a deeper allegorical and metaphysical level. They're there to help us understand who we really are, to help us flex and build those spiritual muscles, to help us develop that Christ nature of us. That's the true us. There's story after story of our way shower Jesus modeling this behavior. Now, if you open up the Bible and you read these stories, it doesn't actually say, and Jesus said, isn't that interesting? I wonder how that would translate in Aramaic, but it doesn't say that. But there are stories where as you look at the stories, you kind of begin to read between the lines. There's that wonderful story where the Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus. And actually what they're trying to do is get him for sedition or treason. And so they come up to him and they say, you know, who do we owe our loyalties to? You know, to God or to Caesar? And I'm sure it doesn't say, isn't that interesting? I'm sure, though, because the nature of the answer that Jesus gives is one of those that required a little thought and a little pause. There was really no way to answer that question if he said our allegiance is to God and the temple, the priests of the temple would have been down on Jesus. If he said, our allegiance is to Caesar, all of the Jewish population would have been down on Jesus. It was one of those can't win kind of things. And so Jesus paused. And using a coin of the realm, he said, whose picture's on there? And said, well, you know, Caesar's stamped on that gold coin. And Jesus said, with a smile on his face, I'm sure, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. However you want to interpret that, that was his answer. He could have gotten himself into a lot of hot water, or these people that were trying to trick him could have gotten him into a lot of hot water. But there was that pause. Isn't that interesting? And then time to get himself collected to give an answer. And there's that story we explored just a few weeks ago about that persistent mother, that Syrophoenician woman that wasn't even on Jesus' radar, not to mention his disciples. I mean, she wasn't even allowed to be in his presence, and she needed a miracle for her daughter. And as I had mentioned a couple weeks ago, Jesus, my way shower, you know, sounds really snotty. You know, he just... I'm not going to feed my good information to the dogs. I mean, oh, how awful. But something happened there in that whole exchange where Jesus moved from his present belief, his present programming, his present prejudices about who were the chosen people. And I'm sure there must have been a modification of, isn't that interesting? This woman would not go away. She'll say, I'll take any of the crumbs you give me. Just give me something. My daughter is sick. And it was enough to open him up to a new realization that expanded his old boundaries and opened up his old prejudices to include this woman and her needs. As I had mentioned, it's those pesky people in our lives that bring us new truth. We want them to go away, and there they are. You know, sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. And then there's that story of Jesus and Lazarus. Now, there are other examples in Scripture of Jesus with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He was constantly popping into their house when he was traveling. They were friends of his. These were people he loved. And in this particular story, what happens is Lazarus is quite ill, very critical. And his sister sends a message to Jesus, says, come on, you know, come. Basically what she's saying is we need a miracle. He's really critically ill. And the story says Jesus stayed where he was for a couple days. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, if this is somebody that I love, I would probably drop everything, been there, done that, and dashed off to do whatever I could. And here's Jesus, my way shower, dawdling to come to work his miracle. Now, the story has a happy ending. There is a healing. As a matter of fact, there's a resurrection because Lazarus was in the tomb already. But you have to ask yourself when you read stuff like this, why did Jesus wait? Why didn't he move immediately? And I think this and other Jesus stories are perfect of examples of, isn't that interesting approach? If you look at that, isn't that interesting, there are several elements in that whole concept or philosophy. There's a stop. There's a pause. There is not a jump into action when something occurs. There's a taking a moment and turning away from whatever the situation is. And as we look at that, what does that tell us? Well, to me, it says, if this is a problem here, or this is a situation, or this is a challenge here, turn away, take a breath. Call it a, ain't that interesting kind of situation. Stop focusing over here, because that represents old stuff. Our reaction to here represents our immediate reaction, old programming. This present problem was caused by past beliefs, past education, past experiences. In order for us to have a personal or a spiritual breakthrough, it's really important for us to pause and try and pull back on that immediate reaction that we have, to turn away from this situation or challenge. And also not to dwell on it, because what do we do if we dwell on it? You know, we just keep reiterating all the facts of it, all the situation. Well, he said and she said and then I did and then they did and then... Am I the only one that does that? Yeah. Don't feed it energy. Particularly, don't feed it negative energy. It's not going to change if you always do what you've always done. By taking a pause and moving away from focusing here and dwelling here and putting energy into it and reiterating how awful it is and how terrible they were and how I'm feeling, and it gives a subtle and very powerful message to our subconscious. That problem, no matter how impossible it seems to be, is manageable. There are solutions. By taking that first step, and I really think without this first step, the healing isn't going to happen. By taking that first step, you open yourself now to other possibilities. And that one step starts the healing process. Because for however long you can move away from this and all the energy that is involved in it, our bodies take a rest, our minds take a rest, all these chemicals pouring into our body stop for however long or however often we do that. And it begins to open us up to infinite channels of help. Also an infinite number of possibilities. Because have you ever noticed how when someone comes to you with a problem, you have all these wonderful solutions for their problem? That's because you're not involved in this whole energy whirl over here. You come without all of their programming. You come with new ideas and new possibilities. When we think, when we take the time to say, isn't that interesting? It moves us to an observer position. So we start to detach ourselves from all the emotion. Now, when we do that, it doesn't mean we're avoiding the situation or we're forgetting about it. That's impossible. But to give the problem serious thought is something we'll need to do and also take some positive action and also do some work on it. But once we've done that, then stop, turn away, and do something else or engage yourself in something else that's positive to feed our minds and souls and give us a rest. If we can fill a few hours, or if we can't even do that, maybe just a few moments, every time we do that, we flex that spiritual muscle that helps us distance ourselves, that helps us open ourselves to new possibilities and new breakthroughs. Better yet, if you can, yes, work on the situation. Think about the possibilities. Think about possible solutions and then sleep on it. For me, that tends to work. I wake up and sometimes I wake up at 3 a.m. You know, it's like I've got all these ideas I hadn't thought about before, or all these possibilities or solutions that had never entered my mind while I was dwelling on this idea. Try this technique with challenges and problems and situations in your own life. That spirit of life in us is really biased in our behalf. It wants us to heal. It wants us to be whole and complete and come into that beautiful Christ nature that is the true us. This technique will help bring a peace-filled mind in us. And that higher consciousness will lead us to the right solution. So what are we going to say when we get up against a problem or a person or a situation? Okay, that's your lesson for the week. Try it and see how it works for you.